You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Just started. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show. Like the man said, Walter Assey from Renovco has just come in. He was wearing a scarf. That's indicative of the chilly morning we're having out there.
Yes, but it's a very light scarf.
All right, okay.
I'm still in denial.
It's fashionably light. He's still in denial. It is. It's October, Walter.
It is.
Change the calendar.
I don't know what happened, but it is October indeed.
I know. Well, I was just mumbling before about it won't be long before we have to put our winter tires back on.
You know, I just realized yesterday that the sun sets fairly early now. Like, it gets dark at like, what, 6:30 or something.
I know. I was on the golf course this week late afternoon, and you're kind of hurrying up, you know, to play before you lose.
It sneaks up on you, that's for sure.
Lose sight of the ball. How was your week? Busy?
My week was very busy,
yeah.
Very good and very productive.
Good.
And it's not over yet. You see, I'm at work on a Saturday morning.
7 days a week.
Up and early.
It's great to have you here back in the studio as well. Can we start working here? Let's go to Luigi in Anjou. And Luigi, you want to talk to Walter about your French drain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
What I've done is I'm digging down to the to my footing.
Mm-hmm.
And because the men are going to come and fill in the cracks in the foundation. So now I need to know, once they're finished, to cover the French drain, how much gravel do I put? How do I cover it above the drain? Is it 4 inches, 6 inches, and how far out do I go from the footing?
Well, the idea is not to just cover the top of the drain. You want to also cover the bottom, okay? Because you want it to be sitting on a nice clean bed of gravel. The perforated pipe could get also clogged from the earth underneath it. So if you can have a thin, a couple of inches, if you can, of gravel, and then lay down your pipe, that would be good. If not, make sure you have some type of a geotextile underneath it so that the mud does not go through the pipe.
Okay, because it's sitting already on a bed of gravel.
Okay, like that's very good. All right.
Yeah,
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
No, because I'm just cutting a swath of about 3 feet, 20 inches on either side of the crack.
20 inches. Okay, so this is, what you're doing is just a section, right?
Yes,
of the exactly. foundation. This is not the whole French drain.
No. This is not a...
Okay. Let's just understand something about gravel. I mean, there's... The more you put, the better it is, because what you're doing really is... Gravel is acting like a filter, right? So whatever the water comes through, trickles down to your French drain. So, you know, I personally would put up 12 inches. So I don't think 4 or 5 inches is enough. I would put, you know, 12 inches, especially it's a small area and gravel is not expensive.
Okay.
And then you can just cover it up.
Okay. Do I have to tap it?
No, you don't have to tap it at all.
Because
the idea is, I mean, you're not compacting. Unless you're using it for compacting purposes, you don't need to tap anything. It's just you're using it in order to act as a filter for the water coming down to your French drain. So there's no need particularly to tap it unless you're using it for the landscaping purposes afterwards. That's another story. Okay. What you want to do now, because we are in that time of the year, you're gonna do your backfill. And you're going to wait until next year before you do any landscaping, because obviously you're going to see that in the spring it's going to settle again.
Yes, okay. And the soil that I'm putting, I'll obviously be putting back the old soil that was there. Does that have to be tapped, or I just lay it, or I just, you know, just put it in the hole and...
The more you tap it, the less likely you're going to have a lot of movement or settling afterwards. So it doesn't hurt to tap it for sure. What I want you to be careful, though, if there's any boulders, don't put them back. That's a common mistake that is done. And usually the foundation guys, they do it because they don't have the equipment to take it out of there. And they just, you know, dump it back into the backfill. And that's really not good. You want to take it out from there and then have it transported out. And they have the excavator in place, so you might just pay an extra for the transport. But please make sure of that. Now, the other thing that I would really recommend, since you are doing that sectional opening, if you don't have a chimney for your French foundation, for your French drain, you know, and it's in a place that could possibly be interesting for you to install one, because you won't have many chances to do that digging again. And that is used for inspections in the future. So if you want to pass a camera down to see if something is clogged, or just simply to see if the French drain is working adequately, that would be your access point.
Okay, never heard of that. Okay, who would do that?
The guys that are doing your foundation crack. Sorry, it's really early in the morning. Your foundation crack should be able to do that, because they do French drains usually. They will charge you an extra for it, but it's really worth it. It's you know, in the future, if you have a problem, you won't have to pay to dig down. You just, you know, especially if it's like within the, like, let's say it's halfway in your foundation, it's really good to have that, because you could go either way.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much for the information.
Good luck, Luigi. Thanks for the call.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye now. I'm laughing at your comment, because you're complaining about it being early. You're telling this to a guy whose alarm went off at 3:30.
You are my role model. That's what keeps me up and ticking. That's.
We're going to Cartierville for Edward. Are you there, Edward?
Yes, I am.
All right. Want to talk about what, mortar in the bricks?
Yeah. Basically, it's to repointing. You know, how would you say? Basically, take out the old mortar. But do you have to do major walls? Because they're sporadic. They might be 3 feet in length. They might be 2 feet in length. And would you know any companies that specialize in repointing?
I didn't get the question.
Okay. You know the mortar in between the bricks?
I know exactly what you're talking about, yes.
Okay, that's decaying, because the house is about 60 years old.
Okay.
Okay. Now, when I don't know who to call, because when I looked at the internet, it's mostly companies in construction. I'm looking for a company that's more in the bricklaying or in that field.
More specializing.
Okay. Yeah. So what you're looking for, a mason, really, or bricklayers. Now, the idea behind this is twofold, right? We tend to see the mortar decaying, but what you also want to look for when you're planning this is any bulging in the brick itself. Because typically what happened, a lot of the time when you have a lot of the mortar decaying like that, goes hand in hand with certain areas that starts to bulge out.
What do you mean by bulge out? Like
bulging, yeah.
There's no bulging at all.
It's not. So when you look at it, you see everything is nice and straight, and there's
exactly.
No...
Exactly.
Beautiful. Okay. So any mason, really, any brick pointer mason could do that job. It's not a problem at all, especially the repointing part. What they want to do is they pass the grinder, they check all the other joints, even the ones that do not look... to the eye as decaying,
right?
Just to ensure, because sometimes, you know, when you get close to it, you see that it's starting to decay, so you want to grind it out and then fill it up with new mortar. But really, any bricklayer or mason should be able to do the job for you.
Do you have any recommendations?
Off air, I will get your information, and I will make sure that I'll have something for you.
Thank you very much.
My
pleasure.
You'll
have a nice day.
You too.
Thank you so much. Let me put him on hold there. We're just going to grab that number. Cover for me here. Excuse me. And okay. Oh, Jimmy's got it. Thank you, Jimmy. 914. It's tough sometimes to find someone to do a specific job, right?
You know, especially exterior work, there's a real shortage. It's a very short season, and it rains a lot in the season. Every time you have a rain day, they stay at home. So, especially like smaller jobs, they really don't want to look at that. Yeah. They'd rather take the biggest job possible for the short season they have. So, it is a bit of a challenge indeed.
All right. 9:15, we have a couple of people lined up ready to go. Plus, there's a couple of lines that are free. If you want to call now and talk to Walter, pick his brain. Walter from Renovco is here on the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. Let's get to...
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Welcome back. It's Walter Razzi from Renovco answering the calls with the years of experience in the renovation business. There's nothing he can't answer. So give us a call, 514-790-0800, just like Anita in Vaudreuil. Hi, Anita.
Hello, good day.
Good day.
I was wondering, because I tried to when my husband was ill, to find someone to help around the house since I had to be his caregiver 24-7. Hmm. But now I've just become a widow. I was wondering, is there anywhere I can find someone trustworthy?
Oh,
first of all,
someone to do what? And our condolences, by the way.
Yeah, condolences.
COVID is not an easy thing.
No, I know. Can understand. So, Anita, you're looking for a general handyman?
Yes.
Mm.
What kind of repairs you're talking about?
Could be anything. Fixing the balcony or helping the dryer if it comes apart or installing a new dryer, things like that.
Okay. I mean, a company in mind, I can't just give you that just off the record like that. But what I could do if you want, if you have anything in particular or specific things, off air, let me know and I can see who I can refer you for these particular tasks. Because to have someone reliable that knows everything, it's, you know, you're talking to a guy who's a jack of all trades but a master of none kind of thing. So I want to be very careful from referring you someone
the guy that came over to take a look at my dryer and was going to cut, he said, oh, I'll come back when I'm in the area. I'm waiting 2 years already.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, for what's wrong with your dryer, first of all?
Well, it needed the duct needed to be replaced in. Well, my brother-in-law did that, but he's a full-time teacher. My sister-in-law's a social worker. Everybody else is working. I don't have much of a family, so.
Okay, so you know what? If you tell me off air, I'll send you a couple of companies that would do that, specialize just in that, and they will be able to give you the service. I will make sure of it. So, again, off air, if you give your information, we'll get you set up.
Yeah, Jimmy's going to take it down. Anita, thank you very much. Yeah, Jimmy's going to take care of that. We're going to jump to Greg in NDG. Hi, Greg.
Yes, hi.
Morning.
Hi, good morning.
Morning. Go ahead, you're on with Walter. What's the issue?
I think we lost Greg.
Oh.
I'm hearing static. You hear me?
Yeah, we got you back. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a property in NDG that's vacant right now. Mm. And it's furnished and everything, but it's heated with heating oil. And the price between last year and this year is has risen astronomically. I thought with the recent drop or the easing of the price of the barrel, that the price of heating oil would drop, but it stayed as high as it was, and they're saying it'll be even higher. I'm looking at switching to the buy energy that has been described on your show in the past, and that's an expensive transition as well. And as I say, the place is vacant, so the savings on the hydro that the buy energy is supposed to bring is on the hydro rate, it'll take a long time to pay off the investment in the dual energy. So the third option I'm thinking of, and this is the question I'd like to ask, what's the harm in draining all the pipes and letting the place, and just leaving it to go cold in the winter and then start it up again in the spring? I'd leave the electricity active. I just drain the plumbing and the heating and the pipes for the heating and mm-hmm. and either let it go all the way to minus whatever, or a small electric heater in the basement to kind of keep it from going extremely cold. What's the harm in that?
Okay, so it's vacant, but it's finished, meaning you have drywall on the wall, you have insulation and everything else. Okay.
Yeah, it's a house that used to be lived in, and now there's no one living in it.
So many things will occur if you would leave it vacant like that without heat. First of all, you are exposing the structure to extreme temperature variation, right? So if it's a wood frame structure, it will tend to work more. And then if you have insulation and drywall, you will start potentially creating condensation, which will create mold on the drywall. So eventually you will have to rip out the drywall and so on and so forth. So you want to be careful with that. Now, having said that, the plumbing is a very important issue for sure. So that's, you know, if you're absolutely doing that, that's what you have to do. But a lot of the materials, like the hardwood floors and everything else, will really start, you know, expanding and contracting. The wood frames, the you know, a lot of the components, you're really kind of pushing them to a very stressful level. So I want to really recommend that. Because the alternative is you're going to be saving a couple of bucks on hydro, but then you're going to pay thousands of dollars in repairs. Okay? So what you could do is you could set it up, even if you set it up on 10 degrees or 15 degrees or 12 degrees, it's better than bringing it down to minus 20 or minus 30 when in the cold, cold days. Okay? Do not...
When a house... But and this is a question that I've always had. So let's say if I put it at, 10 degrees... The energy that it takes when it's very cold outside, when it's minus 20, minus 30, whatever, the energy it takes to keep the house at 10 degrees. Mm-hmm. So I would figure it's a 10. It gets cold. It drops down 1 degree, and then the thermostat kicks in, and it warms the house up one degree back to 10, and it's and so on and so on. What's the difference between leaving it at 10 and leaving it at, whatever, 21, 22? It's the same thing, right? It drops by one.
Yeah,
the thermostat comes on, it kicks in, raises it by 1 degree. I'm assuming the energy to raise it from 19 to 20 is the same that to raise it from 9 to 10, right?
It's not exactly that. I mean, I don't have the adequate calculation for you, but you would save, to get to 10 degrees and to heat a place is a lot faster than to get it up to 20 degrees. So the time that the rad is on, especially if you have a badly insulated structure, right?
Yeah, that's the other problem. It's old construction, old wind, everything. It's from the 50s.
And, yeah, yeah.
Everything's original.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, it's a question of, do you have the right thermostats? If you don't have a digit thermostat, we'll install one, because you will have savings on that if you're going to go that route, because it's an older structure. So you want to have, and don't put one baseboard on. Like, either put them all or don't put them at all, because you will make that radiator work all winter, because it will simply not be able to supply since everywhere else is cold. And that's a common mistake. People just put one baseboard on and they think that should be fine. Keep it at a reasonable temperature, and just don't... really don't subject the house to such stressful amounts of temperature variation. Don't forget, right now we have minus 40 one day, minus 30, and then goes up to plus 12 the next day. So, you're kind of testing the limits of the house in this case.
Okay.
Greg, good luck with it. Thank you. Bye now. It's 9:29. Can I throw a quick text at you, Walter?
Sure.
I'll give you a minute, though. It's got to be a 60-second answer. good morning. I've seen a few of my neighbors having their homes excavated around the foundation to waterproof and replace French drains, etc. Our homes were built in the 50s. Our basement is unfinished and seems dry, but I wonder, is this something we should be doing? It's expensive, so I'm wondering, should I take the approach, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, or should we do it before finishing our basement?
So if you are finishing your basement, this is the magic word. If you're finishing your basement, you should look at the French drain a bit more closely. Right now, if you're keeping it unfinished, and it's not bringing in water, you don't have to worry about it. Okay. Typically, French drains from the 50s are made out of terracotta tiles. So they tend to break and collapse and deteriorate with time. And more often than not, you would need to replace them. But only if you have any signs of efflorescence, water coming in, and so on and so forth, then I would start looking into that. If not, and you're not finishing your basement, you don't need to touch it.
All right, there you go. Thank you for the text at 514-800. You want to call in and talk to Walter? It's 514-790-0800. Back with more on the Home Improvement Show right after the news. Hi, it's Ken, just jumping in for a second, then back to the calls on the Home Improvement Show. I'm here for Electrica, who take pride in making your home comfortable and safe. And this proud Montreal company, they keep expanding and growing, taking care of oil to electric conversions for a lot of their clients, for example. If you're worried about ice on your roof this winter and the damage that can cause, Electrica can install these heated roof cables. They've also expanded their services and are now handling all your heating, ventilation, and air conditioning needs. You can reach Electrica anytime at 514-768-7778. Your home electrician. That's Electrica with a K.ca.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
9:35, all kinds of people in different professions listen to the Home Improvement Show, and Walter is going to decode this text that just came in, and I don't understand what they're referring to. It says, Walter, tell him to call me so I can sell it, and it's from Vula.
Yeah, so one of the things we want to touch on that, actually, vacant properties are becoming more a liability than more than anything else. So when people have vacant homes, one of the things they're going to be running into is insurance. Okay, they're going to have issues to get a home insurance if the home is vacant.
Right.
And that is, maybe the person will tell you, well, the house is old and it's decayed and I don't care about it. But it's going to be a problem for liability. So if something occurs, you have squatters coming in, they put a fire, the fire causes damage to the neighbor, you're in deep trouble. Okay? So, you know, if you really don't need it and you're not renting it, why you're keeping it? You know, people could have different reasons, but if you really don't need it, sell it. And that's where Vula Leonis's text came in. She's a very good real estate agent, and I know her since a long time, so she's all probably right. Saying, like, get the guy to sell it, right?
All right, Vula, thank you for the text and for listening to the show. We're going to go to Inez in Mont-Saint-Hilaire. Inez, good morning.
Good morning.
Did you call last week about this problem, mold in the attic?
No, I call about thermopump.
Oh, you called about a thermopump. Okay, this is a different problem. Mold in the attic.
Yes.
Okay, what's the issue?
Because the very well-known here in Quebec have a company, they offer to check on the attic. And since I'm, you know, like the caller before, I'm also a widow. So I took the offer, and let's call inspector. He say, I have a mold above the toilet, you know, the second floor toilet, just a panel under the roof, it has a mold.
Mm.
And so he make estimation to clean, and he want to change the old, I don't know how you call this, fiberglass, I think, you know, this pink thing, et cetera, et cetera. And we come out $10,000. And so I run around on the neighborhood, and one of the neighbors say, actually, you can do this by yourself. I cannot do by myself. I'm on my old age. And so I just need a suggestion. Is there other company also do this? Because it's really $10,000 is a lot of money. And he say he will clean it and he will change it. And I also have some poop from the animal on the thing. Do you think it's necessary change whole thing? How often should we change the insulation on the attic?
Okay. So it depends on the level of contamination, right?
Yeah.
If you have mold all over your attic and then you have different animal excrements, like, I don't know, you had raccoons, squirrels, whatever you had for a long time, then yes, for many reasons. Number one, fiberglass, if it gets wet and moist, loses its R value. And number two, the toxicity of the material, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a question of common sense. You have to go up, and if you see just it's in a distant corner, and it's really in one area, then you just have to replace this one area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't forget, working in attics for contractors could get expensive because it's a restrained space.
Uh-huh.
It's not a comfortable space. They're literally walking, working, bending over or on their knees. You know, the air quality is absolutely terrible. And if it's contamination, they have to have their Tyvek suits and their masks and so on and so forth. So it's not really, the best job in the world. And so it does get to be expensive. But again, it's a question of common sense of what needs to be done. Okay.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to decontamination, I just want to touch on something very important, because we see it a lot, unfortunately, and I just don't get it. If it's a big contamination, again, with using common sense, do not do it yourself. This is not your area of expertise, okay? Even for us as professional contractors, our guys have to go through rigorous training. They take many courses. They do fit tests for their masks. They really, really go through a whole process to get certified to be able to do these types of jobs. So more often than not, we have this do-it-yourselfer that have decided to put Javel on the mold, and that's the worst thing you could do, because that's when you release the mycotoxins in the mold. It's very carcinogenic, and it's really not good. So, and then, you know, or they just ripped out the walls and spread the spores everywhere in the house just because they don't know what they're doing. And sometimes people call us and they get sick because they did it themselves and so on and so forth. So if it's a small area and what have you, that's not a problem. But when it becomes to be a bigger job, go to the professional. Now, I can't tell you if the price he gave you is good or bad because I don't know the job. But I've seen prices like that in attic decontaminations. Now again, sometimes contractors, certain contractors, not all of them, obviously you have the good, the bad, and the ugly, like in every trade, tend to over exaggerate something to, you know, to gain out of it. So it's worth it to have a second opinion.
Okay.
And then, you know, you'll take it from there. You know, you might not need to go through the whole attic. Maybe it's just one area and you have this other contractor that will give you a way better price, or we'd never know, right?
Sounds like you need to shop around just a little bit more, Inez. Eh?
Okay. And I want, he say if he change whole thing, he will put I don't know how he say we spray, you know, because now he says different is they will spray this they call this land isolant.
Yeah.
R51 is R51 is too much or it has.
It's R50, but so that's the new, like it's a newer code. It used to be R40 in the old days. Now it's R50. So R50 is not so much. It's actually the standard code of today. Now, having said that, the blown-in insulation is good and bad at the same time.
Okay.
It's very good because it's a faster process, meaning the guy comes up from it with a truck and with a hose, and then he puts it, he shoots it in your attic, and he's in and he's out. And, you know, it tend to cover everywhere. It's more uniform and so on and so forth, rather than the bats where, you know, you have all these seams, and you could have, if a seam moves, you could have some air infiltration and so on and so forth. So you want to be careful with that. So the only bad thing that I find with fiberglass insulation, if you have people walking around the attic and they disturb it, it's not that great a thing. It's easily disturbed. The other thing that I don't like about it is that if you ever have a water damage and you open that ceiling, a whole bunch of it will fall down. So it's not a fun thing to clean up afterwards. But, you know, for the insulation factor, I don't mind it at all. I actually prefer it to bats simply because it's dummy proof. Whereas bats, you really depending on the goodwill of the contractor, that he's, you know, that every bat is well placed and, you know, the seams are really tucked in and so on and so forth. That's the standard of what everybody is using. Obviously, there's higher standards than that. You could shoot urethane in the attic and you have 6 inches of urethane, that would be awesome. But it's very, very expensive. Okay. So, you know, it's a question of balancing act. There's nothing wrong with blown-in insulation. It's a good thing. But you might not need to remove the old insulation if it's not contaminated. What you could simply do is add to it. So you could have bats at the bottom, and then you shoot, you know, a few more inches, sometimes 3, 4, 6, 5, 6 inches, depending on how much you're missing, to get to the R50. You could very potentially, if you have an older home, have the equivalent of R22. You need is another 6 inches to get you over that hump, and you're good. So instead of going in and making this big production and big job, it might just be cut, your job might be cut by like 80% or 90%.
Okay. You think it's better I just repair where I have it because it's just one panel?
Yes, yeah. But, oh. but here's a common mistake again. People think that just because the water is in this area, uh-huh. that the water is coming from that area. That's a very common mistake. Water does travel, so it could be coming from far away and would have made a stream of destruction along the way. And, you know, you just happened because it's the lowest point in your ceiling or the weakest point, and that's where the water went down. So that's a misconception. Always investigate further. I can't really tell you if you should change this one panel. It could be one panel, it could be two panels, it could be 10 panels. I can't really tell you. We have to have a visual inspection to give you an objective opinion about that.
It is. We have to run. I hope that was some help for you this time.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. Absolutely. Thank you for the phone call.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Really going to, I forget what I was going to say. Never mind. Really going to do something. Going to get right to the phones here. Susan, thank you for waiting. How are
you? I'm fine, thank you. Good morning, gentlemen.
Out in Pierrefonds. You want to talk to Walter about your gutters?
Yes, I do. Okay. We are looking to replace our east trough. Currently, there are the old 4-inch ones. I understand that there are 5-inch and now 6-inch ones on the market. I'm told the 6-inch are called commercial grade. In view of the fact that we are going to be experiencing probably more frequent and heavier rains due to climate change, I'm wondering if going to 6-inch would be considered an overkill. Part B of my question is, are there leaf guards wide enough to fit a 6-inch one, and are there any that actually work to keep pine needles and maple seeds out, because we have 3 humongous maple seeds in our area.
Right.
Final question is, the installers for the east troughs, do they fall under the same safety code as those who do your roof, in as much that they are required to wear a safety harness? Since if there's an accident, I don't want to be responsible for their medical bills.
Okay. Wow. All great questions. I have to say, you've done your homework. Mm-hmm. First of all, there is nothing such as too much of an overkill. A 6-inch gutter is my preferred size due to global warming and the extreme weather patterns we've been getting, especially if you have a bigger span roof. Now, if you have a small property, it might be an overkill in the sense that the span of the roof does not require a 6-inch, okay? But the standard should never be 4. 4 is way too small for any home. Smaller homes, I would start at 5. 6 is my preferred size. Again, I repeat. Mm-hmm. As far as gutter toppers are concerned, my problem with gutter toppers is twofold, okay? If you ever need to clean your gutter, it's very expensive for the gutter cleaners to take it out and put it back on again.
My husband's been doing it for the last 30 years, and this was his last season doing it.
That's why I'm saying in the future, look, we meet a lot of these do-it-yourselfers, and at one point there's a cutoff point and they say, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore for good reason. Now, having said that, so if you are going to transition on hiring someone to do it, just understand that there's a big cost factor there, a much bigger, I would say double or sometimes triple the price of the just simple gutter cleaning, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's one. Number two, my other issue becomes an ice backup. So it have a tendency to want to accumulate and do an ice backup even more because of the fact that you don't have that space that, you know, it can go into the gutter and or that snow that can go into the gutter and hopefully melt off. So you're kind of removing that capacity for the roof, and now you are more prone to have ice backup under your shingles and water damage. That's in the case where your slope of the roof is not very pronounced. If you have a pronounced slope and you don't have that problem, then you could install a gutter topper, but it's something that you need to watch. That's where I would tell you to be careful. Are you better off if you are going to maintain your gutters on a yearly basis? Then all what you need to do is to clean them couple of times a year and not install a gutter topper. Okay. But it's something that you really have to kind of weigh in the process. There are gutter toppers that have very tight mesh screens on top. But again, the problem is they tend to cause you issues in snow. Because, you know, what happens now is when you have the saw in the winter, and you have all this volume of snow, it's really staying on your roof more than your gutter. Hmm. Okay. So, and then you're eliminating the possibility of putting a heated wire in your gutter if you have any issues, with the heated wire going downspout and so on and so forth. So it kind of will stop you from doing many things, that will, that might help you clear the snow off your roof.
What about the ice? What are the workers do that? Do they have to be harnessed in?
That's thank you for reminding me. I forgot that part of the question. So you'd be surprised to know that they do it on ladders. Okay, you know, they're usually three guys and they have three ladders and they go up and down and they're like so agile. So most of the time you see them, they don't actually tie themselves up to anything. Now, is this an issue? What you want to ensure is that they have liability and work and CSST insurance. So that's something you are allowed to ask them to supply you with. Because if something happens and they're insured, doesn't matter what happens, you've hired an insured licensed company, make sure they have an RBQ and everything. And then that you're not part of the process of liability or anything like that. You cannot micromanage if they're going to follow the rules. That's not your job and you don't know what the rules are. I mean, contractors go and follow courses, for safety and different jobs and what you do and certain standards. So that's, you know, you could micromanage if, you know, see the guy going up a ladder with his flip-flops. That's, you know, usually a telltale sign of something very bad and potentially going to happen. But, the fact of the matter, if you have a licensed company that is insured and they have a valid license and a valid insurance that is up to date, you really don't have much to worry about after that.
Well, Susan, what do you say?
Well, I say I'm going to keep on researching because I don't want to be replacing my east troughs in the next 20 or 30 years again. Mm-hmm. And since we have a high water table in the back part of our yard, which already the downspout goes 20 feet beyond the house, I need to find something that's really going to suit us for now and the future.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. The research on the 6-inch gutters, that is, we've had very good reviews on that. Yes, they call it commercial grade because it's the largest gutter out there, but it works very well, especially in extreme weathers.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks,
bye,
Susan.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Boy, that was a terrific hour. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
We apologize to the people we could not get to. You know what? There's only so much we can cram into the 1 hour. Apologies to Mary Ellen and Diane who are waiting on the phone. Hopefully next week we can get you on the air at 514-790-0800. Walter Assey from Inovco, Ken Connors, Jimmy G, thank you so much. You're sticking around to take care of Lisa Christensen. The car show is ready to go. So is our newscast standing by here on CJAD 800.